In the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our discussion on the Sabbath. Yeah, yeah. I think having defined the type of works based on the Bible, I'm not saying that mine is 100% accurate. Okay? This is only for your reference. But again, when we talk about keeping the Sabbath, the spirit or the essence of keeping the Sabbath must be brought to light. I think that is very important. Yeah, that's why we have to refer to Isaiah, the two verses we have read. Yeah. I think that is very important. I think if you are godly, yeah, if you are godly, if you fear the Lord and if you love God, yeah, then you will do your best to observe the Sabbath to enter into the rest of God. Alright? I think this one is quite marvelous, yeah, because Isaiah was moved by God to talk about this. Yeah, the two verses we have read in Isaiah chapter 58. Yeah. I think this should serve as the principle in keeping the Sabbath, right? In keeping the Sabbath. Okay, you can have a different set of rules or whatever to govern a person, not to violate the Sabbath. But if the heart is not purified, is not transformed, then we find that keeping the Sabbath is more a burden than joy. Is that not so? Yeah, so it all springs from within the heart. I think that's very important. So I think if we love God and if we really the want to worship God, then it has to come from within, right? And it has to come from within. Okay, now I think I want to talk a bit about I do not know much, yeah, but I want to give you a rough idea of why in the time of Jesus as raised by one of our sisters here, yeah, it seems that Sister Yumin, yeah, seems that during the time of Jesus, yeah, so many types of law, put it this way, different classes of court have been stipulated, yeah, by the rabbis and scribes or whatever. Right? Now we know that, as I mentioned, yeah, after their nation was destroyed, either by the Assyrians or the Babylonians, okay, after they come back, yeah, especially the restoration of the nation of Israel, they realized that one of the main reasons for them to be captured was because of their violation of the commandments, the Sabbath commandments. That was one of the main reasons. Now, having understood that, we find that they began to define the law very strictly. Okay, they tried to define different types of works. Know, what kind of works can be done and what kind of works cannot be done. And as a result, yeah, we see that they missed out most of the purpose or purposes of keeping the Sabbath. So we find that keeping the Sabbath became a burden more than joy. And this morning, if you have time, you can go and read Zondervan or Zondervan, whatever, okay, Pictorial Bible Dictionary. Here it defined the religious code regarding the Sabbath listed 39 principal classes of prohibited actions by the Jews. Yeah, they have 39 classes. Okay, now they have listed down things like sowing, reaping, winnowing, cleansing, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking. You know what kind of things that constitute works of labor. Right? I just give you a few examples. Yeah, now we see that they have gone so far extreme, yeah, to an extent that. On the Sabbath, when we talk about plowing, okay, now if you spit on the ground, on the soil, it can constitute a kind of plowing. They say, why? Because your spittle disturbed the soil. Silly, isn't it? Yeah. So we can see that it becomes so stringent and strict. Huh? Now the other example is that if you write with either your left hand or right hand more than two letters, that is a guilt on the Sabbath. That's a guilt. You know, because they said you write that constitute a kind of work. Okay? This is the second example. And the third example that I got is, yeah, and this one is even more unreasonable. If you walk across a field, yeah, and you may be guilty of threshing. Why? Because by walking on the grass, you may bend and you may broken some of them. You know what I'm saying? And they said that constitute a kind of work, right? So we can see that it becomes very, very stringent. Right? Now, even in the modern days, we find that if your house is on fire, you cannot carry your clothing or whatever, your possession out of the house on the Sabbath. But it's okay for you to put them on. This is the idea. I got it from Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary. Okay? So we find that it becomes very stringent. So when you come to the gospel, most of the things that the scribes and Pharisees were talking about actually were not from what? The law of Moses. They were not. They redefined the idea of work, yeah, concerning the Sabbath. That's why we find that there are so many conflicts and argument, yeah, in the gospel, right? Because of this inaccurate definition of works. All right, now, this is a rough idea. Okay, so when Jesus came to this world, and we see that he performed certain work on the Sabbath. And his intention was not to violate the commandments of God. Rather, we find that by doing so, he brought out the essence of keeping the Sabbath. Right? He wanted us to know exactly how we should keep the Sabbath so that we can obtain blessing from it. Right? So it's not that Jesus came into this world to abolish the Sabbath. No, no such thing. Okay? Okay, any questions before I go on? Any further questions?
So I guess if you look at this passage here, I was just reading.
Matthew, is it?
It's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13 and 14.
Okay. Permissible.
So if you, it's not work so much as if you are doing something good. So can you interpret it that way?
Yeah, religious work. You know, I categorize the work into three because it's easier for us to look at them, to know exactly, you know, which category of work that we do belongs. You know what I'm saying? But it's only for a reference, as I said, right? This is not absolute truth. Any more questions before I go on? I still got quite a number of things to do. Legalism. Okay. Okay, what if someone comes to you, yeah? What if someone comes to you and tell you that, look, the law has been abolished or has been fulfilled? That's why today we don't need to keep the commandments anymore. How will you answer the questions? Oh, yeah.
But the standard is higher. Like, it says, do not kill, do not steal. But Jesus said,
Okay, in relation to Sabbath keeping, how can we raise the standard? Make it higher. How?
Because
of grace,
right?
Grace and mercy kicks in.
You said before the spirit of keeping the Sabbath is very essential. You don't just go to church and sit there and listen to a sermon, but that you are really worshiping God with all your heart.
That's from the heart. Anyone else want to contribute to this interactive lessons?
Bring no more futile sacrifices. Because in 1 Samuel, it says that I don't want your sacrifices, I want obedience. So when we observe the Sabbath, in the spirit of Sabbath, right, you don't make it futile. Right? Your heart must be there too, not just your body in the church, right? Your spirit, your heart, worship, adoration for God. Really spiritually rest.
It's open to the floor. Say something, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, go on talking and talking.
Question?
You have not been listening. Yeah. I think if I understand it correctly, to fulfill means to fill it up. Yeah, to fill it up. Yeah.
I imagine it to be like a frame.
Yeah.
And then what's inside is what Jesus brought.
Okay. No?
If people ask, I will ask them, what do you think, what are the laws they're talking about? I would first ask them, what are the laws they're talking about?
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
Yes.
So this is the case that we can use Book of James, for example, to say, hey, they're still keeping the Ten Commandments.
But I thought the Bible said it has been fulfilled, come to fulfill.
So that means that the laws are not.
Okay, imagine that. Okay, now imagine that I'm a truth seeker. Yeah? I'm a truth seeker. So I come to you. Hey, friend, look. The law has been fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill.
So does it mean that you don't need to keep it anymore?
Yeah, it's fulfilled. It's filled up.
You don't need to keep the Ten Commandments anymore?
Yeah, I think so.
So good luck. Because you don't need to worship one true God. Right?
Don't send them to Africa.
I'll never come back to True Jesus Church again. How we answer the questions?
So I think we just explain to them what are the laws we're talking about. From that point of view, then the laws are not the Ten Commandments. When the Bible says the laws are fulfilled, that's the laws in that sentence.
Not the Ten Commandments. What are they?
So
ordinances.
Oh,
okay.
Because I heard an article about the origin of how the Sabbath was abolished because of the Emperor Sextus, around like AD, like 60s of the Sabbath.
No idea.
Yeah. In the 160 AD of the Emperor Sextus, he was the one who actually changed. It was actually observed like during the early part of the church history. And he changed it from the Saturday to Sunday. It's because of some inconveniences. So it was actually changing. So I guess we can also refer to the church history, like Christianity, the history of Christianity. It was changed somewhere. Because the early church, they observe it even after Jesus' time. Like Paul, they are still observing Sabbath. But somewhere along the line, man is the one who changed it. And then becomes the tradition.
Okay. All right. I think we turn to what is that? Matthew, yeah? Matthew 5. Five verse 17 and 18, yeah. I'm still a truth seeker, I remain a truth seeker, yeah? For the time being. Okay, verse 17 and 18. Do not think that I came to destroy the law, all the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Okay, 18. For assuredly I said to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law. The all is fulfilled. So, Brother Patrick, so you said that this law refers to the ordinances, statutes, testimony, stuff like that? It's not the actual Ten Commandments? Okay, I have a question, yeah? Have the law been abolished or have the law been fulfilled? Fulfilled or abolished?
Fulfilled.
How? By being crucified on the cross. So, it's been crucified.
In Romans, right, it says about the,
hey,
eh? Hey?
Sister, I don't really get you. Sorry. I'm very slow here, up here. Sorry. I'm very slow. Sorry. I didn't get you. Sorry. I'm very slow. How does that tie into the fulfillment of the law?
So I guess, yeah, when Jesus comes, right? I guess, you know, we are no longer under the... Sorry, what was the question?
Halfway through our discussion, we forgot our questions. No, my question is very simple, okay? I think we need to explain it a bit... more accurate, put it this way. Has the law been fulfilled or has the law been abolished? That's my question.
Fulfilled.
Okay. How is the law fulfilled? How? If the law is fulfilled, do we need to keep the commandments?
Yes.
Only Ten Commandments? What about the laws, the ordinances, stuff like that?
No.
Why? Because they have been abolished.
That's been new on the cross.
Abolished then?
No, no, but actually it was fulfilled. Not abolished. It was fulfilled in what? Saying you have to love God with all your heart. That is.
No, he said, nail on the cross. Nail on the cross.
Nail on the cross is fulfilled.
No.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We got mixed up here. Okay, one more time. My question is very simple. Has the law been fulfilled or has the law been abolished? Yes. Done away with. Okay, I take back the word, abolished. Done away with. You don't need it.
Because he's somewhere,
I'm a truth seeker. I'm a truth seeker. Okay, now we still need to keep the Ten Commandments, yeah? Okay?
Yes.
What about the, put it this way, the bylaws?
That's been done away with.
Nail on the cross. How?
In Ephesians chapter 2, 15 says the...
Okay.
The ordinances have... No, the enmity of the ordinances, the curse of the law,
yeah,
has been abolished. Not the actual...
Commandment.
Yeah.
But I thought Ephesians 2:15 talks about commandments. In English, I think it's especially clear in the English version. It's the commandments. Yeah? Yes. I don't think you can separate the two, can you? What is it? Okay. Go on.
I'm sorry, could you? Galatians. Okay, thank you.
Because the Galatians were turning back to keeping the law. I think they were trying to keep circumcision again, and they thought that they could be justified by the law, although that they received the Holy Spirit.
They are turning back to
keeping the laws.
Okay, you think so?
Or not?
There are too many questions. I think I'll still stick to mine, yeah? Okay. Now, all right, to make it easier, okay, I want you to come back to Matthew first, 5, yeah? Matthew 5. All right, Matthew 5. Okay. If I ask you a question, because this question has been asked to me, posed to me quite a few times, okay? Okay? Now, the law here in chapter 5, verse 17, does it include the Ten Commandments? Does it include the Ten Commandments? Does it include the Ten Commandments?
It's capital L.
Capital L. No. That is law. The law or the prophets, I think it refers to the Old Testament scriptures. It's a representation for the Old Testament scriptures. The law and the prophets, yeah? Okay. I think we are talking about verse 18. The law passed from the law till all is fulfilled. What is this law? Does it include the Ten Commandments? Forget about verse 17, yeah? And read verse 18. The law. Does it include?
I think verse 17, that's my personal case. I think it's the Ten Commandments, but if you see the verse 31, same chapter, furthermore,
it
has been said, and that is the
oral
law. That is the law written by the teachers, the rabbis.
Where is it? Verse
1? On
okay.
Yes, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I said to you that whoever divorces her. So, I mean, that's my personal opinion. Verse 17 is the Ten Commandments, but the verse 31, it has been said,
I think this verse 7 is the classification of the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. Yeah, the law, the prophets. Sometimes the Bible just used the law as the Old Testament scriptures. Sometimes the Bible used the law, the prophet, and the Psalms. Right, that is the classification of the scriptures. All right. Now I think verse 18. Okay, my concern is with verse 18. Yes. Okay, Jeremy, I know you're ready.
More question.
Okay.
I think we read the preceding verses, what Jesus is talking about. He basically mentioned quite a few commandments in there, which is included in the Ten Commandments. So we look at it from that aspect. So obviously Jesus is saying that we have to keep it, because in verse 19, he says whoever takes one of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So obviously because it is saying that we need to keep it, not only that, we have to teach people to keep it.
So you're saying that it includes the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Now here we have got two groups here. One group say no Ten Commandments, one group say yes. Go on.
Furthermore,
You mean
saying that there's also a rich young ruler asked, you know, when he asked Jesus, you know, how can I enter the God? And the answer Jesus gave him was, you have to keep the commandments. So from there, if we say that Jesus can fulfill the law, we don't have to keep a commandment, then Jesus, in a way, is contradicting himself. Because one way is telling the young man to keep the commandment if you want to enter life. And then the other way, we say, oh, Jesus will fulfill the law, therefore we don't need to keep it. So is Jesus trying to confuse a young man or trying to give him something new?
Because the young man, you know, he said he kept all the commandments, but then when Jesus said, oh, come and follow me, he can't.
Still doesn't abolish the other two.
Yeah, so at least he doesn't have that true love.
So, sister, your point is?
My point is that it's not just the keeping of the Ten Commandments, because this young man, he said he kept all ten. But why is he not still able to sell all his possessions and not go with Jesus and follow him? Right? So it was the standard was raised, actually. It's not just keeping the letter, but the spirit. Which is to love God with all your heart, your mind, and then to love others.
So, but sister, my question is, does the law include the Ten Commandments? That's my
okay.
Thank you very much. We come back to the question. Sorry. I'm very slow up here, so I cannot figure out too many questions at one time. Okay. So what do you think? Okay. Now, some of you said, yeah, law, like apart from the Ten, yeah, you say all the bylaws, easier, okay? Bylaws or includes the ordinances, stuff like that. Testimony, you know. You say this one, what? Has been fulfilled? And this one, what do you say? Has been abolished. Yeah? How do you explain it? No, hang on, one by one. How do you explain it? Okay, now, before we go on, I just lead you, okay? Does the law include this two set of commandments? Make it easier, okay? Say that these are two set of laws. Does it include all these two sets? No. Yes or no? Does the law include the Ten Commandments and the bylaws?
First, I think you have to
sister, I think this one is God inspired because these are the words from Jesus. Okay. No, more ordinances, testimonies. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Just the bylaws. But here it talks about the fulfillment of the bylaws. Verse 18. Okay, I'll try to answer it. I'll try. Okay. Now, I think we must have the courage to believe that, yeah? The law here includes both. Right? Don't worry about it, just say both. Okay? Now, when you look at the first covenant, yeah, covenant, right? The first covenant and the new covenant, yeah. This one is Jeremiah 31. Actually, there's no difference. To be honest, there is no difference. What is the? There is only one difference. Okay. And we see that this one, the foundation of the first covenant, is also the law. Yeah, it's law. And the second covenant, if you read it carefully, is also based on the law. Right? We can turn to that. Even in the New Testament, New Covenant. We turn to Jeremiah. It's not like some of the denominations said the New Covenant is different from the first. Actually, it's not true. And we read chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 31. Yeah. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. In that day I took them to the land to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant, which they broke, though I was husband to them, says the Lord. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 33. I think that is important. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law. The law is still there. Can you see? Yeah? I will put my law in their mind and write it on their hearts. And I will be a God and they shall be my people. So we see that the foundation has never been changed. The law is still there. The law. Yeah? Now, what is the difference between these two covenants? What is the difference? We know that the first one here is our word. Yeah? Why is our word? Because it's on tablet of stone. It's our word. That's why they were guided from outside. Yeah? Now, in the New Testament, the law is different. Why? Because by the coming of the Spirit, the law will be put into the heart. Meaning that you are given the strength to keep the law. To keep the law. Yeah? Now, of course, with the understanding that, okay, after you accepted Christ, that's why Paul says the law should all the more be enhanced. Should all the more be enhanced. You do not nullify the law, okay? Now, we know that the center of the law is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And after that, we see that there's stipulation of law. Why? To enforce the keeping of the Ten Commandments. Just like the Sabbath Commandments, yeah? Later on, you can see different regulations being enacted to enforce the keeping of the Sabbath commandment. Alright? Now, today, if you can keep the law from within your heart, we see that all these bylaws will no longer needed. Just like I have a child now, yeah? I have a kid. When she is young, I tell her, look, you must study hard. That's my command. But she refuses to listen. So what can I do? I have to enforce. Do it. So study. Okay? Now, as she grows older, yeah, she understands my commands very clearly. She understands my command very clearly. Why? Because the command is in the heart already. So naturally, all this will no longer require. Okay? This is the first explanation. Right? I'm coming to that, yeah. I'm coming to that. Okay, now, the second point is, you see that if you read the scriptures, yeah, the Bible says the Old Testament point to Jesus Christ. Point to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a substance, yeah? And all these are like what? Shadow, yeah? When the substance has come, obviously, you don't need the shadow anymore. In this light, it's like a kind of fulfillment. It's like a kind of fulfillment. Now, the other point is, okay, when you are able to keep the law in your heart through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that in itself is a kind of fulfillment. Fulfillment. Right? You fill it up. Fill it up. Keep it in your heart. You will not violate it anymore. Okay? So as far as I'm concerned, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, this is how I explain it. I said today we still need to keep the Ten Commandments. The law here in Matthew includes both sets of law. Put it this way, yeah? Now, today we don't need to keep the bylaw, not because it has been nailed on the cross. I don't believe in that. It has not been nailed on the cross. Okay, we shall come to those passages. Okay, we shall come to those passages later on. So the Ten Commandments, okay, Now today, if you have the power to keep it from within the heart, that in itself is a kind of fulfillment, right? Fulfillment to me, that's a fulfillment, because you don't violate it anymore. Why? Because you are given the power to do it. Now the rest of the bylaw in this light is no longer needed, because the law is in your heart already. Okay. Now the second explanation, as I mentioned, I just want to clarify, just to repeat myself, right? Now Jesus is the essence, the shadow. Right? Now the essence has already come. Okay? Therefore, this one will naturally be fulfilled in this essence. You have seen the essence. It's like a kind of fulfillment. You've seen the essence already. Yeah, I think there are a few verses, isn't it? We turn to Hebrews. It's in Hebrews. Where is the verse? Where is the verse that say the substance has come? What is it? My memory is not very good. Ten one, yeah. Okay. Is it 10:1? 11:1. Is it 11:1? No, this is talking about the faith. Thank you very much. You pass your exam. You don't need to sit for any test. That's why when I ask you a question, answer it quickly, then you pass. Okay? Otherwise, you have to sit for another test. Okay? Is this the one? Very image, the sacrifice which they offer continually. Okay. I think there's another one, yeah? We can... I think you can read... okay, chapter 2 of Colossians 17. Yeah, talking about festival or new moons or Sabbath, which are shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ Jesus. Yeah. What does it mean? You're testing me again. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Okay.
So what is this law of righteousness? Is that,
here it's not talking about the law of righteousness. It's a law for righteousness. Yes. Can I come back to that question? Yeah. I'll try. But you remind me, please. Remind me, I'll come back to that. So, now this is how I answer the questions, okay? I will not say the law has been abolished. There's no way you can find the scriptures which says that the law has been abolished. Can you find me a passage? For those who believe that the law has been abolished, can you find me a passage? Where can you find it?
Can you explain Ephesians 2:15?
No. Please answer my question. Don't ask me another question. Okay. 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 Chapter 2, verse 15, yeah? Does he talk about the abolition of the law? Does he talk about it? I don't think so. Does he talk about it? There's no way near. Huh? Does he talk about it? But we shall come to these two passages, as I mentioned here. The other one is Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, 15 and 16. The other one is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. We shall come to that. But before we touch on those questions, I want to ask a question. Can you find a passage which says that the law has been abolished?
No.
No, huh? Thank you very much. To me, okay, as far as I'm concerned, there's no passage in the scriptures which talk about the abolition of the law. As far as I'm concerned, I cannot find one. Maybe you can help me. I cannot find. Yes. Because there's no abolition of law, as far as I know in the scripture.
But they always talk about abolition.
Yes, abolition.
But they don't know what is fulfilled.
No, I think they got mixed up as well. They said the Ten Commandments has been fulfilled, therefore you don't have to keep it. Actually, that is not the teaching of the scriptures. Yeah. I think fulfillment, you are able to do it now, you keep it. Yes. Anyone? Okay. Any verse concerning the abolition of the law? No. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Now, shall we come to the two passages that you have mentioned? Colossians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. We dealt with Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15 first. Okay. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 15. Okay, we read from verse 14 to 15, yeah? For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Okay? Now, I think to explain this, yeah, the key words or the words that stands out is enmity. Is it not true? Yeah? So Christ came to what? Abolish what? Enmity, destroy enmity. And Christ did not come to abolish the law. Can you see from these three verses? Do you get the idea now? So the key verse is what? Enmity. Can you see it? How did Jesus Christ abolish enmity? Yeah? Now, we know that in the future, all right, the Ten Commandments will be our judge. Will be our judge, yeah? Now, if I sin against God, yeah, the law of God tells me that I am a sinner. Okay? I'm a sinner. Because of what? Because of sin. Yeah? Because of sin. Now, this is enmity. Sin is the enmity. Right? Because the law tells me that I am a sinner. Okay? Now, Christ came to abolish enmity. To abolish what? To abolish sin, to destroy sin. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? So we find that in this passage, which is similar to the one in Colossians, yeah? So when my sin is removed, right, we find that the law can no longer judge me to be a sinner. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Therefore, I'm reconciled to God because the enmity is removed. Right? That's why the Bible says, yeah, that's why the Bible says, Jesus Christ came to destroy enmity, which is contained in the commandments and ordinances, something like that. Yeah? He came to destroy sin. So when sin is removed, then we are free. That's why Paul says the law is good. We cannot say that the law is not good. We cannot say that the law only here, only includes the Ten Commandments. No. The law is good. The law cannot be abolished. So what Christ has come to abolish is sin. Is sin. Enmity. Okay, I think we need to capture the words correctly. Then in this way we will not enter into what we call a discussion that will never come to an end. Okay? You get what I'm saying now? Because the Bible says the law, the word of God should judge us. Right? The word of God tells us that we are sinners. Yeah? Because of sin, we become enemies of God. Right? This is the enmity. Now Christ came and removed this. The law can no longer what? Judge us to be a sinner. You see my point? Yeah? You get it now? Okay, now we come to Colossians chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2. I think this one is a bit tricky, but I'll try. Alright. Now, first of all, I think we read from verse 11. We read from verse 11, yeah? When you read from verse 11, here it talks about baptism, yeah? Buried with him in baptism, verse 12, sorry. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised from the dead. And it leads on, yeah? And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Pay attention to the word trespasses. Now verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, having nailed it to the cross, okay? Now some people take this to mean, yeah, the handwriting of requirements refers to the bylaws, which I don't agree. Right? Now if you read NKJV, right, you can see the explanation, yeah? The small lettering, can you see? Here it says, yeah, verse 14. It's the certificate of debt. The certificate of debt. Can you see? Yeah? Do you have an NKJV? Can you see it? Let me finish first. Okay? I think here it was using the analogy in the Old Testament scriptures to illustrate the point, right? Now, debts can mean sin as well in the gospel, yeah? Debts. So if you owe someone something, you are issued one. A certificate of debt, right? To remind you of your debts, basically. Okay? Now, with this understanding, the certificate, the handwritten requirements or whatever, we see that as long as these debts are not cancelled, right, you are always liable to one, to repay your debts. Yeah? But if you take this in the context of sin, yeah, debts, we are sinners. We are issued a certificate of debts. A certificate of debts. Now we know that from verse 12 onward, it's talking about baptism. Our sins are forgiven. When our sins are forgiven, naturally this one, certificate of debt, will no longer be required. Do you know what I'm saying? If you have paid all your debts, then this one will no longer what? Will no longer bind on you. You know what I'm talking about? You get my point? Yeah? You know what I'm saying?
So I guess the other interpret this as the law.
To me, it's not. 是不是这样？你不要这样看得很辛苦，我看得你很辛苦，是不是这样？ To me, it's not. To be honest, it's not. I have even checked the word. It's not. It's not talking about the law. I'm quite sure it's not talking about the law. It's talking about the law. And Michael, what is this? No, not you, Michael Xu. Okay, I tell you what, if you can clarify this point, yeah, then you see that the whole passage will flow. Alright? You will not say that the law has been abolished. It's not true. Okay? It's talking about a certificate of debt that has been abolished. Because this is the thing that against us. Right? As long as your debts are not paid, yeah, are not removed, you see that this thing will always stand against you. Hey, you owe me something. You look. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you owe me something. Yeah? But once your debts are paid, this one is no longer binding on you. Finished. That's it. Bye-bye. It's not talking about the law. Okay? It's not talking about the law. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Wake up. Cheer up. Any questions? No, yeah. Yes.
How does it link to verse 16?
Verse 16 is difficult. Anyone want to try? Okay. Can you please ask your question? How what do you mean? How does it link to verse 16? I don't think it's linked. How is it linked?
Soul, let no one judge you. So using soul.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. What do you mean? How does it link? I'm a bit slow up here. Can you be a bit more specific? Baptism. Verse 12, yes.
Yeah. So when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he no longer need to face death. Right?
That's why I say when we read this passage, you need to grab some of the keywords like trespasses in verse 13. Baptism. Talking about the removing of trespasses. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Now that's why from verse 14 onwards here it says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, it's not talking about the abolition of the law. It's talking about the abolition of the certificate of debts. Right? If your trespasses are removed, then there's no need for you to be fear of the certificate of debts. You're paid. Jesus Christ has paid the debts for us. Is that not so? Yeah? That's how I look at it. Go on.
But I think verse 16 is not actually related to what we just talked about, 12 to 14, but maybe with verse 8, like when he said, see to it that no one makes a prayer of you by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. And then in verse 16, I think, is just continuing with the questions of food and drink and festivals.
Okay, I tell what, we'll come to verse 16, yeah? But before that, do you have any question from verse 12 to verse 15? Any question on that? Can you see how the passage flows now? Verse 15.
What are the spiritual powers?
I guess, having disarmed principality and powers, something to do with the air, Satan, maybe. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I think this is the work of Christ, isn't it? To overcome death. Hey?
Disarming the power of death.
This is how I look at it. Any further questions? No?
We're done with the verses before 15, right? Are we ready to talk about verse
16?
I just asked.
Yeah. Come to that.
I have a note I took many
years ago.
But here, one of the pastors mentioned is that it might be referred to the so-called festival Sabbath. Mm. If you refer to the Leviticus 23 and the 23-24, verse 32-39 talks about a lot of, just I know. No, Minister Chong mentioned it earlier. This is all the festival type of Sabbath observance. It's not the seventh day Sabbath.
But how do you know?
That's the note I took. I don't even know who told it.
You better count over.
Because to me it makes sense. If you were turn to the Leviticus 23, verse 23, also verse 24, then move on to verse 32 and 39. In this whole section, it talks about how they should observe all different festivals, including the first day of the month, and also talk about the definition of the Sabbath. So here might be, say, you know, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, plural.
It means that you can do it, but as long as people don't judge you, it's okay. Fine.
You need to observe.
No, I'm joking. Say, do not be judged.
Everyone judge you on that one. But as we talk about it, because you have, I think you make a pretty good presentation on a couple points. I wrote down here now. One is now. The law was never abolished. Second one is now Ten Commandments stands, only the bylaws got fulfilled because of the coming of Jesus. Right? Therefore, all the bylaws, including the verses that we just read, has been fulfilled. So you don't need to be worried about people judging you. They could make the argument, just say, you know, it's been voided. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's my belief.
Okay, so I don't need to do any homework now.
So you got the soda da zhong. You still have to do it. I haven't answered you. Okay. I'll answer it tomorrow, yeah.